Movie, film, 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 film,
writers are working overtime. You're listening to Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's a podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I'm Nate, and you lied to me. You said my father was my father, but my uncle is my father. My father is my uncle.
And I'm Terrell. And who, them? They always mad.
I don't know.
That's from Eve's Bayou.
Oh.
Yeah. And where's yours from?
I cheated.
You cheated?
Yeah. It's not a movie or a film.
Wow. Cheater. Cheater. What is it?
It's Arrested Development.
Oh, that's a TV show.
I know, but we're doing TV. Mother of George today, and all I could think about was Buster George. Bluth.
Oh.
Buster Bluth is the George of Arrested Development, even though there's a George.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Before we talk about that one, we have 2 weeks worth of movies that we watched to go over.
Yeah.
Not going to talk about them all.
No, that's a lot. That's a lot of talking.
You watched Eve's Bayou, though, I saw.
I did, yeah. I watched Eve's Bayou, finally. You guys, you and Anthony talked about it sometime last year. And it's something I have never seen before. So, it came to Hulu recently and I was just like, yeah, let me watch that. Let me get on that. Cause this whole month is like us watching stuff that we have never seen or maybe wanted to watch for a long time and just haven't seen, which is why we're doing Mother of George. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've never seen, Samuel Jackson, that smooth before.
Right?
Really, really smooth.
I mean, he's always smooth, but he's like...
He's like a lady killer smooth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like different. And just like Lynn Whitfield is so beautiful. She's so pretty, so talented. And then I get to see more Diane Carroll, which is great, in like this fortune teller role.
Yeah. That was a scene.
Yeah, that was a scene when Baby Journey is in there. There's like so many faces. There's Baby Journey and Baby Megan Good.
Well, what'd you think about the tone?
The tone of it?
Yeah, it has a very specific tone.
I don't know. What do you mean?
Just like the Southern Gothic melodrama of it all.
Yeah,
with the fades and the.
I don't know. I didn't think much of it. I guess it's a vibe. I guess it didn't bother me. Like I wasn't asking
if it bothered you.
Oh, no.
No, I just think that's a defining characteristic of it.
Okay.
It has this very specific tone.
Yeah, tone to it. Cause they're at the swamp. It's this beautiful swamp setting. And, no, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was, aesthetically, pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in that vein, I've been meaning to watch this for years. I finally watched Barry Lyndon.
Barry Lyndon.
It's a Stanley Kubrick picture. It's
or more Stanley.
Yeah, I put it off because it's like just like a period drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, what is it, three and a half hours maybe? It's long. So I didn't want to watch it for a long time. But I finally did. And it's very good. And it is long, but it doesn't feel long.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it's like watching a couple episodes of a TV show you're really into.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be, like, it's up there among, like, the most visually beautiful movies I've seen. It's, I mean, the Stanley's compositions are always so, specific and just, like, perfectly, composed,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. But this, it being like about a rich guy in England in whatever century that was, you know, it's decadent, so he gets to indulge, and there's a lot of natural lighting, a lot of candles. And it's like, as he gets into more money, there's more candles just all over. And it's just this glow. He got like special lenses from NASA to be able to film like the softness of the candles. He's like a like a gear freak. And story-wise, it was fine.
Okay.
It's an epic. There's like, there's a lot there. It's pretty funny. I wasn't expecting it to be funny. But yeah, if you're listening and you've also been putting off Barry Lyndon, go for it. Watch it.
Okay.
Do it.
last week, I watched Party Monster, and, that was on a short list for this month when I was like brainstorming for movies, and I ended up not getting picked. But recently, the guy that Party Monster is based on, Michael Alig, died recently. And I totally forgot that Party Monster was based on true events. And I was like, oh, that's what, that's this movie, Party Monster. And so I was just like, okay, so I like, maybe now is a good time to watch it. And the actor that portrayed the victim of this story, he put out a tweet about Angel Melendez, who's the victim, the real life victim. And just about, you know what I mean? Just about like the care that he put into the role and the way he wanted to portray him. And I watched it, and the movie's messy. It's really messy. It has like this real messy early indie vibe to it. And I liked it, but I feel like, unfortunately, it was just unbalanced and it didn't do the victim any justice, which is unfortunate because it just seems to glorify.
I have no idea what this movie is. Yeah. Sorry. What is it about? Someone died?
Okay, so it's about this guy who moves to New York and becomes like a club kid.
Now,
okay,
like a party monster.
Like a party monster, right? So like it's like these queer gay kids that party and they dress up and they wear makeup and they look outrageous, right? Like that's their whole thing. And so Michael becomes like top, like head, like HBIC pretty much, right? He's throwing like the best party. He has the best drugs and everything. And he becomes addicted to drugs. Angel is someone that he kind of builds up in the scene, apparently. And he gets him to give him drugs, right? And so eventually it's like a drug deal gone bad. And he and a friend end up killing Angel. Right. Over drugs, and they kill him, and then they hide him in their bathtub, and then they pour Drano down his throat and tape him up. And then when the smell becomes too much, they chop him up and then throw him into the Hudson River.
Party.
Right. And then he's kind of let off the hook easy because they want to catch the club that he worked at. They want to catch the owner in like this drug scandal. So the victim, Angel, really doesn't get his just due. You know what I mean? And the story, the movie kind of just glosses over Angel, which is unfortunate that it did that because it just...
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's a real story.
It's a real story. And there's a real person there. And he just kind of like, if you blinked, you'd miss him. What you get of him is nice, but it just... It's just, you know, America has this obsession with serial killers and killers and stuff. And so it just, it does that. It takes that lens with it with like, ooh, look at this fascinating man and the life he lived. Mm-hmm. And then here's his victim really quickly, you know, which is not great. But yeah, Party Monster. I'm glad I finally watched it in whole so I could finally get that whole picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump back.
Okay.
I'm going to jump back because we're doing this thing where we're talking about movies we've been meaning to watch. And I was a very late comer to this franchise when I think in our first year of living together, we watched Alien.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been meaning to watch Aliens, the mm-hmm. sequel, for at least like 3 years yeah. now. I finally did it.
It finally last happened. Week,
we're
going
to talk about it because yeah. we rounded up our year.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
Right? Different tone. Different
Alien
everything.
Is more of a survival horror movie, and this has like... It has scares,
mm-hmm.
but it's more the action.
Yeah.
Action-packed. And definitely widens the scope of the story, of mm-hmm. the universe.
Yeah.
We complain about 2020 and 2021, but like, that's a shitty time to be alive.
Right? Yeah.
What a nightmare.
What a nightmare. And, like, imagine.
I was curious to see how they would write, like... Ripley going back.
Uh-huh.
And I still don't really buy it,
right? Because no.
It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when she gets there and shit goes wrong, yeah. like, right away.
You know it is.
And she knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nightmare. I wanted her to wake up.
Yeah. I would just, like, if I saw that thing from Facehugger to, like, Xenomorph, there's no way, no one is ever getting me to go back near those things. Mm. I'm not going on the same planet as those things. Those things are vicious and vile and aggressive.
Yeah, what was the little girl's name? Because I liked that character. Anytime you have like a child character in the middle of an action movie, it really runs the risk of slowing down the plot.
Newt.
Yeah, she was Newt was cute yeah. and had the strongest survival skills.
Yeah, she wasn't a hindrance at all.
No, but I just liked the relationship between Ripley and Newt, mm-hmm. and, I don't know, fuck men, go women.
Yeah, it's always the men, it's like the men and the androids are just, like,
we can't,
terrible.
Like, us guys, we can't leave aliens alone.
No. Yeah.
We need that energy or whatever, mm-hmm. unobtainium.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever they call unobtainium in that franchise.
Yeah. Watching it this time, I was just like, whoa, this crew is so 80s. I don't know if I ever noticed it, but I was just like, man, this is set in the future. They're so ragtag in the way they talk to each other and how they talk to each other is just of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good, despicable Paul Reiser performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like Paul Reiser, but then you see him in Aliens, it's like, oh, he's the fucking worst.
He's the worst. He's terrible. He's a great villain. He's a good villain. He meets his perfect end. And that alien, that queen, mm-hmm. just like, you know, the sequel has to be like bigger and badder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That final alien is big and yeah. bad. Yeah. Yeah. What did I watch? I watched Sylvie's Love. Did we talk about Sylvie's Love?
I think so.
I watched Sylvie's Love. It was cute. It was glamorous. It was soft and sweet.
Well, I talked about when I saw it. I don't think we
heard yeah. And yeah, I liked it. I liked Tessa a lot. I didn't know that Asian Naomi King was in it, and I was just like, wow, amazing, awesome.
Their scenes were my favorites.
Yeah, they're the best. Just like yeah. Song of the Summer, you know what I mean? What's the song of now? Like just mm-hmm. like those type of conversations and the way it like moved around them.
Also the stuff with her at work, like so with like Eva Longoria, like the whole television studio of
yeah.
What was it, 50s? The 50s or the 60s? Just like the switchboard and like...
Yeah.
I just liked that.
Yeah, and it was really cool to see a story where she was like, she wanted to do something and she got to do it. And it wasn't mm-hmm. like this big pushback.
Yeah.
And the person that was in the position that she wanted was also a black woman. And that black woman lifted her up to that position. And it, you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't any trauma in it.
Right.
There wasn't any racial trauma in it, which was just nice because like, yeah, we can have that too. That mm-hmm. can be a thing as well.
Yeah, I can't think of any other movie set in that period featuring a all-black cast mm-hmm. that doesn't deal with the discrimination of the time.
Yeah.
It's a pretty special thing.
It is. It is a really special thing.
And it doesn't ignore that either.
No.
Like, there's mentions. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're in a fantasy world where mm-hmm. that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It's just people have lives.
Yeah.
And movies can show that. Yeah.
What else have you watched?
What have I watched? Oh, I finally watched Ghost in the Shell.
With Scarlett?
No.
Oh, the anime.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm not going to watch that Scarlett one.
Ooh. Nice. Did you watch it because of Possessor?
Well, okay, yeah, we got to talk about Possessor.
Yeah, we got to talk about Possessor.
Well, I watched, the first movie I watched this year was Johnny Mnemonic,
mm-hmm.
Keanu Reeves movie from 1995. It's like a cyber thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in 2021. That's why I watched it at the beginning, just to see what the year is going to be like.
Right.
Cybernetic dolphins, apparently.
Ooh.
And Ice-T shouting nonsense. And then we watched Possessor. So I've been in like this cyber thriller.
Start of the year.
Style, yes. Yeah. And I was reading about Possessor and it obviously mentioned Ghost in the Shell as a big influence. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, I really got to watch that.
Yeah.
So I did it. And it is not what I thought it was going to be. Not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like, I'd seen some of the visuals before. Just yeah. like, you know, anime, you just see it in like
yeah.
YouTube videos.
And that's a big one that you see everywhere. Oh, yeah.
It was so heavy. Felt very philosophical
mm-hmm.
and so much, there was a lot of action. I thought it just the way the action and the philosophy just like were side by side instead of, I don't know. It's only 88 minutes and just that it has this forward momentum to it where the action doesn't stop for them to get heavy, but it's so heavy
mm-hmm.
and it's a special movie.
Nice.
I think so.
Awesome.
I gotta watch it again. I don't really understand it.
Oh, let's watch it together. Because I've never seen Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah?
I've never seen it. No. And I would like to.
Yeah.
I'd like
you'd
to.
Like it.
Yeah. Possessor.
Yeah, let's talk about
Possessor. Let's talk about Possessor. Which is...
Possessor Cut. We watched the cut
version. We watched the cut version.
Apparently, there's an uncut version.
Yeah, we'll have to do a rewatch of that. I'm looking forward to it because this was pretty brilliant. Yeah. Pretty brilliant, pretty...
Wild.
Pretty wild, very visually interesting. It pulls a lot from like the sci-fi genre, but it just has like this really original lens and this really original take on like possessing someone and just it just like this really nasty way of doing it.
Like, nasty is a great word for Possessor.
Yeah, it's very nasty. You know, having like this like oxport at the top of your head, you know what I mean? But it's not clean. It's bloody still, you know what I mean? Like you're still poking a hole in yourself. And just like the visualization of the process of possessing someone, like
the dial that they have,
the dial, but
like it was all tactile, like they had pieces for everything that they were doing instead of just a button you press.
And yeah, but like when you lay down in the mm-hmm. machine and like when that process starts and it's just like this, like I don't want to spoil it because it's really stunning and it's really like grabbing, like really grips you, like when that process happens, and then you're just like, oh yeah, it does say Cronenberg. Mm-hmm. It's a different Cronenberg, but it still says Cronenberg.
And that's what you get. It came from Cronenberg.
Yeah, it came from Cronenberg.
Yeah, I also just really liked how aggressively the movie was like, yeah, fuck jobs.
Yeah.
Fuck corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's definitely a staple of a lot of sci-fi action movies is mm-hmm. fuck corporations. Aliens was similar, but this one just showing in a couple different ways just how much the corporations are possessing us.
Yeah.
As laborers and exploiting mm-hmm. us and mm-hmm. how they, I mean, that's like the dark twist of it kind of is they own us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoiler. I guess. I mean, that's just that's... also just, it's how they express the current conditions.
Yeah. That's
good science fiction.
Yeah. I also really just like how unlikable, the main character is.
Yeah, you said that. I didn't like any of the characters.
I don't think it allows you to like anyone, but you see the most from her.
Yeah.
The guy, we really don't get a chance to really know him before shit hits the fan. But with her, she's just like, you know, she's just like this inhuman woman.
Yeah. After this and Mandy, I'm definitely on the lookout for more Andrea Riseborough.
Yeah, she's a very, very interesting actress. She reminded me a little bit of Tilda in this role. I think it was like the blonde hair.
Intensity.
Yeah, and the intensity the kind of the
otherworldliness also.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah. Anything else?
Anything else? I watched a lot of movies. What do I want to get into, though? I finished the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, okay.
I know I talked about watching Fellowship a couple weeks ago. And I didn't think I would continue with the rest of the trilogy, but I ended up doing like one a week and mm-hmm. found that was a pretty nice way to revisit that. It's a just great three movies, like one of those stronger, if you can get behind the whole Middle Earth fantasy thing,
mm-hmm.
it's one of the stronger blockbuster trilogies out there, in my opinion.
Okay.
Just everyone's great. You've seen Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, I've seen one and two, but not three.
Really? Three was the first one I saw, which is weird. I saw that in the theater. I didn't see the other two.
I want to watch third one, but I know that I have to spend the time on the first and the second one.
Yeah,
I got to go back. And those movies are just like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. That's what kept me from watching
Game
a third.
Game of Thrones, so.
Yeah, but that was in like increments. That was like in like little bits here, little bits there. You know what I mean? I won't be doing that again. I watched The Quick and the Dead with you. We watched it. It was really fun. Just fun. Just
yeah,
really fun.
It's so fun. It's everyone has a thing.
Everyone has a thing. They're all characters.
It's one of those movies where everyone, it's like a, what, Smoking Aces, yeah, where everyone has a thing.
Yeah. There's an anime episode I wanted to show you afterwards, but then I didn't say anything. Maybe I'll show you later, but it's like a quick draw competition. Mm. But yeah, this was really fun, and it didn't feel too like Mel Gazy on Sharon, like too.
No, it's weird seeing like a young Leo with an older woman though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's the last time.
He's such a kid. Like he is the kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it was like 19 when they filmed that. But
okay.
But yeah, very very plucky, very plucky Leo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm. And just like really like Sam really loves his like scared shots.
Mm, yeah.
Loves his scared shots and like those like close ups and stuff. Like lots of like Evil Dead moments in there. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it. You were right. You were right. And also like TNT, what are you doing? Why is this not on your syndication list?
Well, this no, Anthony said that they used to play it a lot, apparently.
Yeah? Oh, okay.
I missed it.
I missed it.
We both completely missed this movie, and I suspect a lot of other people did, too.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu now
mm-hmm.
as well, so watch that in Eve's Bayou. Also on Prime. Come to us for all the new streaming options.
That's it for me.
Okay, I got one more.
Go ahead.
Because you talked about this movie like months ago. I think maybe October. So a couple months ago. And I finally checked it out. I watched Identity.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, so come on, tell me about it.
Yeah, I guess it came out in 2003, so it's not like Possessor where we're at risk of dropping major spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Though I won't get into it, because if you haven't watched it, it's one of those movies that's very twisty.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very well done in that way, where for like the first half hour, I thought I was ahead of it. Mm-hmm. And like at every turn, and I think I realized after a while that this was kind of written into the script that you're supposed to think you're ahead of it. And it keeps happening where, like, you think you're two steps ahead of it,
mm-hmm.
because it, like, pretends that it's behind, and then it jumps.
Yeah.
And it shows you something else, so then you're like, oh, so it's this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it jumps, and it keeps, like jerking the flashlight over, so you're looking somewhere else. And
yes.
then the real thing's happening over there and mm-hmm. over here.
The whole time.
It's, yeah, it's a fun, like, hybrid of the murder mystery and a slasher movie.
Yeah.
Which, why isn't that done more?
You're right. Why?
Those are two great genres.
And, like, the combination of it is really great.
Yeah, I guess, like, Scream.
Yeah.
There should be more.
Yeah. And just, like, that cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good cast. And that twist.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the ending.
And the ending, right?
Which, the ending I was ahead of, by the way.
Okay.
By the end, I knew what was up.
Okay.
Because that was one of my theories for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of forgot about it, and then I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. That's a fun one.
Yeah, Identity is a fun one.
Yeah.
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 Okay. You good?
I'm great.
Me too. So let's hear the trailer for Mother of George.
What a day this is. To be blessed like this after so many years. To you, dear Adenike, the woman of my life.
This is to ensure fertility and prosperity. Bear him a son that will be named George.
Many women have babies in their 30s.
But you haven't. My son worked hard, and he will always provide for you.
Why are you letting her ruin our lives?
I'm not letting her do anything. This is our decision.
You will not take another woman?
I don't want another woman.
Are you going to tell your mother that?
Tell him, you can't, you can never do that.
Mother of George is a 2013 Nigerian drama directed by Andrew Dosunmu.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about a couple Nigerian Americans in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
With some baby drama.
Some baby drama. This was my pick. I picked this one. I landed on this because it's been in my mind for a long time. Mm. I was first introduced to Danai when she was cast on The Walking Dead. And I was just like, who is this? Her. Want more of that. And then shortly after her stint as Michonne on The Walking Dead, I saw a trailer for this. And I saw that shot that shot of her face, and I was just like, ooh, this looks really beautiful.
I have no idea which shot of her face you're talking about, because there's so many
shots. There's so many shots of her face.
Is it in front of the blue brick building?
No, it's at the wedding ceremony. It's like this long shot where it's like unfocused, and then it slowly gets focused.
That's also a lot of the shots in this movie. Yes,
that's also a lot of the shots. But she just has like that white and gold like headpiece on. Mm-hmm. And she just looks really beautiful. And there's like that, this like wailing music playing. And I'm just like, interesting. Okay, this does look really beautiful. And I was really interested in her at the time. She was very new. I never watched it. Mm-hmm. Never got to it. Always thought about it.
And I can see how this would be one of those movies, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like very art house, slow moving drama.
Mm-hmm. And also, I guess it wasn't easy to find it just wasn't easy to find. But when we did this, it's one of the first ones that popped in my head where I was just like, ooh, I can finally get to this. I can finally get to this picture and talk about it. So it made the short list, and then it made the super short list. And here we are. Now we're here, which is great.
Yeah, I knew nothing about this movie before we watched it yesterday, just that Denai was the star.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was set in Nigeria, just based on the poster.
Yeah, you thought it was in French.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, we knew nothing about this, which was so great. Because I had no idea it was going to be about fertility and stuff like that. Even though Mother is in the title.
Right.
I still didn't see it being about that exclusively. Yeah.
It should note the director, Andrew Dosomenu, started as a fashion photographer.
Okay. That makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I didn't know this until after we watched it yesterday in the credits. Bradford Young was a cinematographer, and he's one of those that I look out for,
because
I've seen a couple movies where it's just like stunning visuals.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with Ava DuVernay on Selma and When They See Us. There's this movie with Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain.
History of Violence, or the Most Violent Year.
Violent Year, yeah.
Violent Year.
This is a good crime movie, but it just like looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so much of what I liked about that movie was the look.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been like, Bradford Young, okay.
Yeah.
And he did Arrival also.
Yeah, amazing. His work is very well captured in this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all the blue and black and all the like the patterns and like the cloths. It's just a very beautiful picture. Hold on,
that's most of my notes, so we should just start.
True.
Quick, simple opening credits, just like 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's just all caps, white text, black background. Let's get to it.
Yep. We open up in Manhattan, New York.
Out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a recurring theme.
Mm-hmm.
With the way it's filmed, out of focus, see some city movements, and then all of a sudden you see the sign Manhattan on the subway exit or entrance, depending on which way you're going.
Yep. And then the very next scene, we go to a Nigerian wedding.
Yeah, I like how it cuts directly to just a group of men just staring directly into the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very, like, look at us, we're looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's very immersive. Mm-hmm. But then it cuts to all the women looking, so then you see what's going on is a very gendered Nigerian wedding ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And then cuts to the elders on the sides looking, who are also separated by gender, so you get all the elder men looking off to the side at what's going down, and then all the elder women, so it's this...
Yeah.
Very divided but communal ceremony.
Yeah. It's a very beautiful, colorful ceremony.
Oh, gorgeous.
Beautiful colors, lots of like orange, and the bride is in gold and white. And there's lots of dancing and smiling going on.
Like how the dancing is like intercut with like the more ceremonial bits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is just how it was filmed or how... the wedding ceremony is done in Nigerian cultures. But I just like that it all being one thing instead of the ceremony and the party being two separate things.
Yeah.
I think if I ever have a wedding, like it should all be a party.
Yeah.
So if I ever get married, I hope I remember Mother of George.
As soon as you say I do, let's party. So then we move on to the elders blessing Ayo and the groomsmen, but really just blessing Ayo with a good, healthy life. And the elders, they're together at this point. Actually, it's actually more women than men that are blessing him. And then the elders bless Adenike. And bless her, and like I was saying, like, pretty much act one gun of you're not going to have any problems. You're going to have a happy life. Mm-hmm. Your husband is going to be good. You're going to have healthy kids. You're going to have a son, a daughter, and twins. You're going to have no problems. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be great. Yeah? No.
It's like that classic, I think it's like a Shakespearean thing with tragedy and comedy, that comedies end with a wedding and tragedies end with the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're starting with a wedding,
mm-hmm.
not that this ends with, well,
starts. Yeah.
I'm just saying it can't, it's not going to build to another wedding.
Yeah. It's not going to, yeah. The celebration's at the beginning for a reason.
Yeah. I already talked about the level of immersion that this, the filmmaking style, like, just like with these close-ups of like body parts,
mm-hmm.
like just like hands and like the tops of heads, and then also just like food.
Yeah.
It'll just be a quick succession of like someone's hand, look at this food.
Yeah.
And now the tops of heads as they're, people are dancing,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like these details that really put you in the
mm-hmm.
the scene.
Yeah, it's like really great exercise and like focus of like range of like close and like what's going on in the background, what's mm-hmm. going on right in front of you. We meet Shade. We don't hear her name, but we hear her speak, and we know that she lives in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
They do the money dance, which I love. I always want like people to pin money on me, like you know what I mean? Just, you know, put some dollars on me.
But their money dance is like very genteel. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
It's not what you picture. Like I've seen a lot of movies with people just making it rain. This is more a light drizzle.
Mm-hmm. This is more, yeah. They're like sticking, trying to like stick it on her, like her forehead, yeah, and just falling. Cute. And then, yeah, it's really cute. This is the shot. This is the shot. It's like the out of focus shot.
Okay, I have it in my notes. It's the first shot where you actually see
her face
because she was veiled in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I wrote close up, out of focus, into focus.
Yes.
Which is something I wrote a lot for this movie.
And she just looks very stunning, just very beautiful. And it's what pulled me in. It's what that shot, that face of hers.
Yeah, and there's this like this string music that sounds like very triumphant at first.
Yes.
But then the scene switches and it gets kind of eerie at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it switches to this scene with Nike and Mama Ayo, her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Which starts with a close-up on feet.
Mm-hmm.
I just love Mama Ayo's sandals with the big jewel in it. And then Nike's henna.
Yeah. And so they're in a bedroom, I want to say. It's very low lighting, very blue. And she's just, Adenike is just glowing. Like the spots on her that are glowing are just blue.
Yeah, it's like the only thing where it's like super dim, dark room with super dim blue lights. So all we're seeing of her is the parts of her skin that are illuminated by blue. So yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting effect.
And they are like trying to bless her with fertility. Mommy gives her beads to put around her waist. And this will help her, give her husband a son.
That's what this is all about.
It's all about giving your husband a son. And
give me a grandson.
Yeah, a grandson named George Babatunde. What's the last name?
Balogun.
Balogun. Yeah.
Balogun.
Because that was the name of his father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they want her child to have her husband's name, pretty much. In the next room is all the men.
Now we're going from the blue to back to this orange or gold,
mm-hmm.
like kind of a like a ochre. I think that's how you say that
color. Ochre.
O-C-H-R-E. Do you know what color I'm talking about?
No.
If you looked it up, you'd be like, oh, that's the color of that room okay. in Mother of George. might be ochre. I don't know how to say it.
Mm-hmm. We can see that Ayo and his brother, Bia, are close. And the men are pretty much giving him advice. If
it's a similar conversation, just it goes differently.
Yeah.
Because it's also about how you're going to have a bunch of children now and be fruitful.
Yeah.
So get busy.
And also, if you cheat, no matter what, you come home. At the end of the day, you come home to your wife. You come home to eat. You come home to sleep. And get busy. Fill your house with children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the next scene, they get busy.
Yeah. They start to consummate, which is crazy because it's just like the moms were just in the room with her. Like they know what's about to. It's such a weird thing, I feel like. Because,
I don't know. You're at a wedding. You know what the bride and groom are doing that night.
True. But to like. Right before you consummate, have like your mother-in-law mm-hmm. be in the room like, okay, so like get pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the the soundtrack for this this first sex scene is not sexy at all.
Mm-mm.
I like it. It's pleasant, but it's like this folksy Nigerian like drums and light guitar. Mm-hmm. And then like two male vocalists kind of like bum-diddy-dumbing, I mm-hmm. guess.
Yeah.
It's like not quite a scat. But it's like,
not quite a scat.
Actually, it's probably just not in English, and I'm being an idiot. I just had an epiphany. weren't singing nonsense. Maybe they have language.
Maybe.
The point I was trying to make is that it's not sexy. It's more like it's the community being part of their lovemaking.
Yes. Yeah.
It's sex for a different purpose,
mm-hmm.
or in a different context.
Yep. And speaking of community, in the next cut, they are moving into their new apartment, and it's a community effort. You can see all the guys are just like the way they're moving the boxes in is like from person to person, like hand to hand. Like no one is just grabbing a box and then walking it all the way to the space. And so I suppose that at this point some time has passed because Adenike, she wakes up and she goes to sneak to the bathroom to take a pregnancy test.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's not a positive.
Nope.
No.
Not pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her cooking.
Doing laundry, like Humming. Regular, yeah. Regular house duties.
I just like the shot of her cooking is like the camera's like around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They do this thing where they frame all their shots with like things blocking part of the screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Because they do it when like during conversations too.
They always isolate one of the participants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And often don't show everyone's face.
Mm-hmm. So Nike brings lunch to work for her husband.
It's not Tupperware.
Mm-hmm. And he's a chef.
You almost said chef.
I did. I know. I was about to put those two words together. And he's just like, you don't got to do that. And she's like, no, what you make here is for everybody else. But I, your wife, cook for you. And it's this very sweet moment.
That's interrupted love. By yeah. bees swooping in, mm-hmm. getting that food that mm-hmm. was supposed to be for Ayodele.
Mm-hmm. And but you can kind of see like this bond or this like really like close, this cuteness between the three of them.
Hmm.
You know, that's unhindered at the moment.
Hmm. The next scene is Nikkei running into Sade mm-hmm. in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Nikkei wearing the traditional Nigerian garb, very colorful, cool pattern. This one's kind of Christmassy with the
red.
Green and the red.
Mm-hmm.
But Sade's in just the contemporary American business casual.
Yeah, she's more Americanized.
Yeah.
And she kind of startles Nikkei and she spills something on herself. And so they have to go shopping for a new shirt. And the shirt that that Sade picks out is like this transparent blue blouse,
mm-hmm.
which is really funny because Nikkei is so like conservative and mm-hmm. so like she's like, you can see everything. Like, no, I'm not going to wear this shirt. And I love the type of friend that Sade is because I was just like, oh, she's trouble. But she's like the she's fun, right?
Fun.
She's just like pushing just a little bit. And she actually gets her to buy the shirt.
And then she wears it for her husband who says it's transparent.
It's transparent. And she was like, I thought you'd like it. And he's just like, yeah, I like it, but not for everybody else.
Mm.
So then she like covers up, you know, with her bag and it's just like, oh man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're drinking the tea, right?
Yeah, we're drinking the tea.
Mama Ayo's got fertility tea for mm-hmm. Nikkei.
And it is disgusting.
But she's got to drink it twice a day.
Yeah.
And that's how God is going to bless them with George.
Mm-hmm. And so, in the next scene, we see that Adenike wants a job.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably just home bored, cleaning, cooking, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Once that's done, that's it.
Drinking nasty tea.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so she's telling her husband that, who is not supportive.
Yeah, he's like, my wife doesn't need a job. I work hard so you don't have to. But pride. She's like, I can do something. I want to do something. And I want my own money,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. And the next scene, we see her making Sade a dress.
Yeah.
Sade is doing that thing where she's just poking a little bit. She's just like, I want that neckline down a little bit. And Nikkei is just like, no, not for this dress. And it's just like this really cute moment where you can see just how different they are, but how they're friends still.
Yeah, and everything is just so blue. It's not just the lighting; it's the wallpaper,
mm-hmm.
Just the props on the set. It's just so blue, and I think it's funny that we did such a red movie last week, and now we're doing
very blue.
Blue,
yeah.
And hint for next week: we're going black and white.
Yeah. Oh, that's your hint. Not really, but...
So now we got a club scene.
Yeah.
Sade at the club wearing the dress.
Yep. She is hanging out with B, mm-hmm. Who just earlier when she came to the restaurant in the transparent blouse, Nikkei introduced them to.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like this eye flirting moment between them two, right? So that's just like the quick setup. And now they're at the club together, and they kiss,
mm-hmm.
and then they're fucking,
yeah.
And then there's a sex scene, of them together.
And it is notably more sexier than the
Nikkei
Ayodele scenes,
mm-hmm.
Cause they're not baby making. They're fucking.
They're just fucking. Yeah.
Just no music, just panting.
Mm-hmm.
The community is not part of this. It's just their bodies.
It's just them two.
Then we get another out of focus, into focus shot, but this time it's Sade, just to see what her life is like, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of like what Barry Jenkins does.
Yeah.
Shots, which is apparently just what Wong Kar-wai does.
Yeah.
Reading. They both just copied him. Mm-hmm. I got to watch more of his movies this year.
In the next scene, we see a little playfulness between Nikkei and B. As he like turns up the music too loud in her headphones. Mm-hmm. And you see that the two are like, they have a nice siblings. Relationship. Yeah. That's her brother-in-law. Yeah.
Anika is going to run into Mama Ayo.
I really love this shot.
Because they have a whole conversation, but we don't see Mama Ayo like once.
And we don't need to. Mm-hmm. Because Mama is almost like, she's...
We know where she... Like what she's thinking.
Yeah, we know what she's thinking, and she's thinking almost
George,
represents
George.
Yeah, she almost represents more. She almost represents the culture, or just like a voice that's in her head that's telling her, like, "Hey, you're not pregnant yet." You know, I'm pretty sure Nikkei is already just like, "I'm not pregnant yet. I'm failing at this," and that is pretty much what Mama Ayo is saying in this moment. And I just love the way that that is framed, because you only get to see like the disappoint, the anger and the disappointment in Nikki's face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The next scene, Nikki is on the phone. Is she, we only hear her side of the conversation. Is she talking to her mom?
Well, actually the next scene is the close up of her fist.
Okay.
And then like her face is blurred out. But we can see she's angry, and then it's just like, why are you letting her ruin our relationship? And this is the first time that we hear that, there's some talk about him bringing in another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ayo's just like, I don't want another woman. I only want you. And, you know, he reassures her that it's just me and you, like, no matter what, it's just me and you. And then we get the phone conversation with her mother.
It was her mother?
Yeah, it's her mother.
And she's defending Ayo against accusations of cheating.
Yeah.
I believe we only hear Nikkei's side. She says, Ayo's not like that.
Yeah. He's not like that. He wouldn't take another woman. You know, we already had this conversation. It's just another voice in her head telling her, hey, get pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have this very poetic sequence. There's not really any action to this next scene. It's just like unsettling music as Nikkei is walking around the city. And it's like just shots of like her legs walking around. And like, I just focus like the way they are in her dress. Like they're kind of like constrained as she's walking. And it's like the way that the shot is framed, just like, it's really just her legs. Like that's all you can look at. And yeah, just the isolating pieces and then finding poetry in that to speak to just the mood that the characters are feeling. It's very artful.
Mama Ayo, and every scene she commands respect. Like she is the head honcho. She's the matriarch.
Yeah.
When you come to her, you bow. When she speaks, you listen. You don't get up from the table. And she demands that respect because while she's talking to her son Ayo, the phone rings and he goes to get up and she's just like, sit down. No, I'm talking to you. Have you lost your mind? You know, and then she snaps her finger and then B comes and gets the phone. And she's just like, this is very important. We're talking about your legacy. We're talking about your unborn children here. So she's really pushing for a grandchild.
Yeah. And Nika is trying. She goes to the doctor.
Yeah.
Get advice on the fertility issue.
But she's a walk-in.
Yeah.
So she actually doesn't get seen. She spends like hours there probably just waiting. Falls asleep, and when she wakes up the person that's working there is just like, hey, the doctor left. He can't see you today. And she's just like, hey, I'm like pretty much I'm desperate here. And she is just like, mentions her husband, and she's just like, my husband, and because she's trying to keep it to herself. She's not trying to get her husband involved in this issue. And then she ends up just giving her pamphlets, pretty much, of like options.
And so she's going to talk to her husband. And this conversation's like shot through a mirror.
Yeah.
Like we're looking at a mirror. It's their reflections.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mirror. And then it like pans over when they go further into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get closer, it pans back into the mirror.
Yeah.
It's a really nice shot.
And it's, I mean, I call it a conversation, but it's very one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Aya's not really listening to his wife.
No.
First starts out making excuses, saying, I'm tired, just trying to dismiss it. Then mm-hmm. he's kind of belittling her when she starts talking about money.
Yeah, he's mad at Sade for like being involved. And mm-hmm. she's just like, this is not even about her. Like, forget I even mentioned her name. I'm actually talking about fixing our situation here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he is just not hearing it. And she's like, I got money. It can help. We can get money from my mom. And he's just like, what is $200 going to give us? And I love that she's just like, it's $547. Like, don't dismiss my money.
Because she worked for it.
She worked for it. It's her money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not with it. And pretty much he just like ends up consoling her. And maybe they have sex. Maybe that's the answer. He's just because he says, you know what, we'll fix this. And then there's just a cut from there.
Yeah, right. But yeah, pretty much he's not going to see the doctor with her.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. We get another angry call with Adenike and her mother. Mm-hmm. And she asks the important question of why is it always on the women?
Mm-hmm.
Because what if it is him? What if he's the reason why that, you know, they can't get pregnant
mm-hmm.
and he brings in another woman and she doesn't get pregnant.
Yeah. And then you bring in another woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then after that, there's this pretty stunning shot of Nike. She's rightfully distressed. She opens the window of her apartment and like sits, leans on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the exposure is so high that it's just so bright white outside the window. It kind of like engulfs her face. Like mm-hmm. she just needs to disappear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's so the sound of the streets take over.
Mm-hmm.
In the next scene, it's like a club scene. Ayo's talking to these two women. And then we get like this extreme close-up of Nike's face with Ayo and the girls in the background. And her face is like gold. It's like lit in this gold light. And then but the room is like very blue. And then for a moment, he disappears with these two women. And she's kind of like distressed. She's a little stressed at this moment. And then we get these really beautiful shots, these really beautiful blue out of focus, fuzzy shots of like her with like this very like African braided hair with this like this braid on top. And it's just like this really interesting silhouette. And then it snaps and then it's in focus. There's something about that really, I was just like, ooh, that was really beautiful. That was mm-hmm. really interesting, like, composition there.
Then there's a conversation between B and Sade about keeping their affair a secret.
Yeah.
B feels strongly about this being one of the only things that his brother and his mother aren't involved in, so he wants to their affair to stay between them.
Yeah. And he's kind of right to do so because we see what being a part of the family is like and what it entails, especially for the women.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Sade wants in.
Well, their relationship is more modern,
yes.
more Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely that clash between traditional Nigerian culture and modern American
mm-hmm.
is at the heart of Mother of George.
Mm-hmm.
Adenike is in one of those van cabs. It's like a van, but it's a cab.
Yeah.
Dropping
them off at their workstation.
You don't see a lot of those in movies,
mm-hmm.
but they're real.
Mm-hmm. Nike gets a fertility ritual done.
Hmm.
I don't know exactly what to call it.
Like the upright fetal position thing? After she has sex?
No. When the guy, like, he spits on her. And then it's just like, do you know Asylum 123 or right. whatever it is? And he's just like, say that every day. She's very desperate. And she's just going through like all these avenues except for like American medicine, pretty much. Because these ones she can do on her own and they don't cost as much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that night after the ritual, she goes home, she has sex with her husband, and then she like... She cradles herself, she tucks herself into fetal position, rocks herself, and she says the prayer. She's saying it very to herself.
Now Sade and Nika are eating lunch, and Sade is like, why not adoption?
Yeah, and she's like, no, I want it to be for me. Yeah. You know, and Sade is just like, how? How can you make this happen if he won't even go to the doctor with you?
Right. Then this next scene is really where it turns.
Yeah, it gets really heavy.
And it's a powerful scene because it's this conversation between Nikkei and Mama Ayo, but intercut with their prayer ceremony.
Yeah, they're like in a prayer center.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the dialogue because it's so kind of mysterious.
Yeah.
It's very...
They don't say it.
Yeah. They don't say it and they don't show a lot. It's very like... puzzle piece picture.
She says there's well, Nikkei wants, let's start at the beginning. Nikkei wants Mama Ayo to talk to her son into seeing the doctor.
Yes.
And Mama Ayo says there's another way.
Yeah.
And then there's just silence. And then she says it's the same blood.
It's the same blood.
And they don't say it, but we can say it. Mama Ayo says, hey, fuck my other son.
Yeah. Other women do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really fucked up, and Nikkei reacts appropriately. She's very mouth open, like her jaw just drops. Like, are you like, these are your options? Like,
yeah.
Nikkei is left with two options here. One, allow her husband to have another wife, or two, have sex with his brother.
Yeah, like at that moment, it was like this very artful shot that was very in line with the rest of the style of the movie, but then it shifts to like this pretty straightforward shot just of Mama Ayo and Nikkei sitting on the bench. We're just straight ahead, and now both of them are in the shot. They're actually right next to each other, even though the way it was filmed before, it seemed like there's a lot of distance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you get to see the face turn of Nikkei looking over to be like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
This is where we are right
this
now?
This is where we are.
Yeah.
So, that's I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go with that option here. And
that's when I was like, oh, that's what this movie is.
That's what it is.
Did you know?
No clue. Mama tries to talk to B, but he is like not paying any attention to her.
Yeah.
Because he already knows. She left him a bunch of messages and whatnot. And he's just like, no, without disrespecting his mom. Mm-hmm. And then Nikkei tries to talk to him, but he's just like, I got to prep. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like making up excuses. Like, I don't have time to have any conversation with you right now, no matter what it is.
Yeah, that scene is like, it starts with them outside the restaurant and it's shot through the glass of the restaurant. And there's like this fabric. There's a lot of fabric in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, he refuses and walks to the kitchen, says, I got to go prepare. So the camera pans over, and now we're seeing him through the mirror, but it's the same shot. There was no cut. So it's another mirror shot. And then it keeps panning after their conversation's over, and it's like on Denai, like the point where two mirrors next to each other split. So like her face is distorted.
Yeah.
He gives in.
Yeah, I was gonna say everyone's quiet. That like family feeling, that those laughs that they were having, and that playfulness is gone now. Yeah. You know, and it hasn't even happened yet, but it's going to happen. And they're uneasy around each other. But Ayo is unaware of you know that tension that's happening.
Now here's, I believe, the blue brick wall shot I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we're just on the side of the wall, and it's this very shallow focus. Just like a little sliver of the wall is in focus.
For some reason, I really like that. Just being like, oh, that part of the wall is in focus. When she gets there, her face is going to be in focus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Out of focus, in focus.
Out of focus.
Out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's just so poetic. It's like she has that little sliver to be herself.
Mm-hmm.
In existing in being a poor person in Manhattan, being mm-hmm. a Nigerian American, being trying to be part of this culture and part of this family,
being a woman,
and it's just she has just a little bit of room to be her clear, focused self.
Yeah,
it's good filmmaking or movie making yet mm-hmm. to be determined.
Mm-hmm.
Sex scene.
So yeah, B and Nike, they have sex and it's really sad. B is humping away and Nike is looking away and she's crying.
Yeah, this is visually the darkest scene in the movie.
There's no blue.
It's just darkness.
Yeah.
You really just see the whites of Nike's eyes. Mm-hmm. She's kind of over it. And there's this tear
mm-hmm.
streaming down her face.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's bookended with another sex scene.
Yeah. I believe she has sex with B again. She has sex with him. She has her clothes on.
Mm.
And then in the next scene, she is actually fucking her husband. Not making love to her husband. Actually, just like, it's a pretty long sex scene of them just going at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it ends with him saying that he'll go see the doctor.
Yeah.
And that is tragic.
Tragic, yeah. Because
he finally came around. Like, he doesn't know what's been going on.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, I don't need the doctor now. So.
Also, just notice the sheets on their bed, like, change quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them the opportunity to show off all these nice, colorful patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But also a nice way to show passing time.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the way that the movie tells us that Nike is pregnant, I think is pretty brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's just B's with Sade when she gets the call from her friend.
Yeah. And she's very excited. She's very like, congrats. Yay. I really like this shot of like, Sade being like really happy walking into the frame, walking out of the frame.
She's like skipping out of the frame and, essentially.
Yeah. And then B enters the frame and he's yeah, like slow. Very, yeah.
And it kind of, I think it does some slow-mo even.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's a heavy moment
for him. Yeah. He's just like, oh man. And then he exits the frame as well.
And then a goat gets murdered.
Yeah, they kill a goat.
Dinner.
For this like pregnancy celebration.
There's just like a focus on the, like, it's just interesting that they show the goat being killed and then the camera lingers on just the blood on the pavement.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Dinner party.
Dinner party for baby Babatunde. Who's coming November 23rd. Mm-hmm.
So many shots are just like the slivers of faces.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
like, yeah, lots of shot of like B in the background, like side-eyeing and looking very uncomfortable while everyone mm-hmm. else is very happy.
Yeah.
Moments of Nike also looking very tense and just like... Ayo being the most happy person in the room.
Right.
Speaking of like, this is a blessing. You're my miracle. Like mm-hmm. we wanted this and now it's happening and I'm so happy. And everyone, and like the mom just being like, yay, you know what I mean? Like the mom being the mastermind yeah. of this oh, yeah. is just like perfect, you know? And then Nike and B just being like, ugh.
And then it's like this real awkward moment when they take the group picture and B's like can't smile.
Yeah. And like she's in between them. She's in the mm-hmm. middle. Yeah. Yeah. It's very awkward. Very unfortunate. And they talk about, like, when mama sits back, that means you've been accepted into the family. And I was just like, man, just like the price of that acceptance is way too high. Mm. Way too high. But, you know, Nikkei paid it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in the next scene, it's a busy night at the restaurant. Yeah. It's a full house and B's not there.
He doesn't show up.
Mm-mm.
And so he's got to answer for himself the next morning.
Yeah.
Which is just more brilliant composition. It's the way the restaurant shot. It's like the frame is broken up into thirds where on the left side is the entrance to the restaurant when you walk in. And then in the center is this like thick wall separating the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then the right side's the kitchen, which is where Iodele is preparing food.
Mm-hmm.
And B walks in on the left side of the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And they're separated by this very thick wall.
Yeah.
Io doesn't know what's going on with his brother, but he needs to get his shit together. He's a baby. He needs to grow up.
Yeah, he needs to grow up.
Meanwhile, B's going through all the shit that his brother doesn't know about.
Yeah, doing things for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the next scene...
Oh, it's so devastating, because now he goes home to complain to his wife about his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to make excuses for him.
Yeah. And so, Nikkei, she knows what's going on. I mean, she's part of it. She knows what's going on. She knows what B's feeling. She goes to see him. And this is another shot where it only focuses on her and B's off camera as she's confronting him. And he is pretty much just like, I can't live like this. Like, I wake up and I feel like shit. And I either am going to like run away or I'm going to tell him. And she is like very, very, she makes herself very clear and like is very like wide-eyed and focused on him. And he's just like, you can't do that. You can't ever do that. And then leaves out. And then that's when the camera turns on him. And we can see just how upset he is.
How broken up he is.
But still, like, not, like, crying, not, like, broken down, but just, like, right. You know, doing that thing that guys do when they hold in their emotions and they just get very quiet.
You mean strength.
Strength.
You mean displays of strength.
Displays of strength.
Ugh. It's good to cry. Iodele is going to talk to his baby.
Yeah.
Got his face up to his wife's stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Being goofball. Goofball dad. Goofball energy dad,
yes.
Before the baby arrives.
Mm-hmm. And he's like wondering, like, are you going to have my hands? Are you going to have your mama's feet? Doesn't really matter as long as you have my teeth because I have good, strong teeth.
That's such a weird, like,
yeah,
body part for you to talk about your baby having.
Yeah, have my teeth. And this kind of breaks down Nikkei, and she starts to cry, and he's just like, what's wrong? Like, oh no, did I do something? And she's just like, your brother, he's the father of the baby. And then he, you know, he's just like, what is this rubber?
She doesn't even say it that plainly. She says, your brother, the baby,
your mother. Yes.
That's all she says.
That's all she says. And like, he like flips out. And he leaves, and she's left there crying. And he goes straight to his mother's place, who is unfazed by the situation. I mean, she knows it all. She knows best. Mother knows best.
It doesn't matter who the father is. The child belongs to all of us.
Exactly, but it matters to him, because I mean, he was tricked and lied to, and I mean, that was gonna be his life until they broke. And the mother just has no remorse.
Mm.
Yeah. None.
Now Adenike's with Sade and can't keep it together. She's crying, ends up telling Sade the situation.
Mm-hmm. I think B.E. tells her.
No,
because she cries.
Ayanike talks to Sade, and then the next scene is Sade going to B.E.
Okay.
right?
I thought if what happened was she went to Sade, she cried, and then
she told her that Iadele walked out.
Yes, she told her that.
And then the scene ends, and the next scene right after that
is... Well, she hears B in her apartment, and then she looks, and then she runs away. And then in the next scene, B and Sade has had a conversation.
Yeah.
And Sade is upset.
There's this... It's another thing. You only see Sade. You don't see B. And you just see the tears streaming down her face, which... I'm sorry to complain, but very obviously fake tears in that scene.
Fake tears?
I didn't... Very clearly the way the streak is like...
Mm-hmm.
And, but you said she was a model?
Yeah.
So...
Whatever. She's a good actress.
Oh, yeah, she was good. I really liked that. I just like the really second time I noticed that it was like fake tears.
America's Next Top Model season 3, I believe. I've only heard it win.
Oh, I might have seen that season.
Yeah, she's on there with Eva.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. But yeah, she is. She's pissed now, and rightfully so, because he's been telling her all this stuff about how he wants to be like pretty much like his own man, and out of like the family, like, you know, drama and dealings and all that. And then he goes and digs himself in deeper.
Yeah.
And he's just like, that's my brother. Like, you don't understand. You won't understand. Like, that's my brother. I'll do anything for him, pretty much. Right. And then right in the next scene is Io like telling him like, yo, you're fired. I don't want you working here anymore. Go anywhere else but here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so everyone's relationships are falling apart.
Yeah. Yeah, all the relationships are done.
Yeah. Iadele is driving away from Adenike. She's, like, chasing the car, but she's on foot.
Yeah, she's like, I'm still your wife. Like, I did this for you. This was all about you. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel sorry for him, and I feel sorry for her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there was so much pressure that led them to this situation.
Next thing I have is the scene outside the restaurant at night. In any case, trying again to reconnect with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to his restaurant, and the security gate is down.
Yeah.
But he comes out, or they face each other for a moment, and he holds her.
Yeah, she's rubbing on him, and she's talking softly.
And it's a very drawn-out scene, which adds to the devastation, because he ends up going inside the door and then closing it and locking it.
Yeah, locking her out.
Adenike on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy. It's sad.
So, Adenike goes into labor.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes into labor... And this scene kind of scared me. I was so worried.
Yeah.
Because when Sade came into the hospital, it got very quiet. Mm-hmm. It got like that type of quiet where like something bad has happened. Like when a bomb goes off.
Yeah.
And it gets real quiet. Yeah. Yeah. And she has this worried look on her face. Mm-hmm. And she walks right past B to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next scene is the doctor that was walking Adenike to the delivery room.
Iadele. She's walking her husband.
Well, that's the last shot. I'm talking about the shot before when she was she was talking to Adenike, like, it's going to be okay, you're going to be okay. She...
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was just because Adenike wasn't walking. So I was just picturing, like, wait.
No, you're right.
she's on a stretcher. But the doctor is walking.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So... I suppose that the doctor just asked, who's the father of the baby?
Hmm.
And but we don't hear that question.
Yeah.
We just see her, like, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's an out-of-shot, it's an out-of-focus shot of a man walking. And then when it comes into focus, it's Io.
Yep. And that's the final shot. He's like puts his fist up. It's a close up. You just see his face, but like his knuckles are covering his mouth. He's nervous.
He's nervous, but he's stepping up to the plate.
The first time we watched it, I thought, because the movie ends, cuts to credits, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe she died during childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that. That's what I got.
I'm just
nervous.
So used to in movies when people go into labor, there's the labor scenes, and then you cut to them in the hospital bed holding the baby, and you never get that. And it seemed like the way the music was and the drama.
Mm-hmm.
It is ambiguous.
It's ambiguous. I just think it means that he was going to step up,
mm-hmm.
and he was going to, like, he was going to stay with his wife.
Yeah.
He was going to stay in his child's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the most important thing, is that, you know, that they stay as a family. Yeah. And that's Mother of George.
That's
it. Finally watched it in 2021. 8 years later.
Did it.
Yeah, we did it. Hey, Nate, is Mother of George a movie or a film?
I actually wrote down my thought about this.
Okay.
Which I very rarely make the movie or film thing part of my notes.
Okay.
But, okay, if you take out, this is like a big, stupid, dumb thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
If you take this story, take out all the specificities related to Nigerian culture,
mm-hmm.
It's a Lifetime movie.
I see that, yeah.
But Mother of George is a film. The way the story's told.
Mm-hmm.
It's the storytelling, not the story,
mm-hmm.
in this sense. Well,
I like that.
The parts with the cultural specificity are fully done, and there's definitely depth to that, but just the general arc of the story isn't inherently artful. Though mm-hmm. it is pretty classic, kind of biblical.
Mm-hmm.
But no, just the beauty of the filmmaking and the way the framing and the lighting and the poetry.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I agree.
I thought you would.
I agree. And also, Ayo can still be the father. It could have happened. Who knows?
That's true.
We know. It's very ambiguous. But he's stepping up regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I'm glad that I picked this to watch. I checked it off, finally.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm sorry this isn't the one where we were hoping this month. I mean, it could still happen. We get an episode that we both hate the movie.
We got two more to go.
I quite liked this one.
Yes.
We'll be back next week, as mentioned, with a black and white picture that we have not yet seen
mm-hmm.
in our lives.
No.
Tweet us at Movie Film Pod, same handle on Instagram and Facebook. Go to Linktree.
Yeah.
Right?
Go to
find
our
all the links. It's linktr.ee/moviefilmpod.
Yes.
And then you can, from there, find all of our links, all of our web presences. Email us moviefilmpod@gmail.com if you got something to say. Even if you don't got something to say, let us know you're listening.
Let us know. And also, like, come on, send us some recommendation. We want to know what you guys want to hear. Mm. We would love that.
Mm.
That'd be awesome. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
So thank you for listening to Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.